Okay, so aside from just trying to make some progress and making our way through the Gemaras here in the 8th Parak, so one of the goals of the Shiurim in the morning, again, 10, 15 minutes or so, is just to familiarize ourselves a little bit with even ways of learning Agadata. We encounter a lot of Agadata whenever we learn Gemara. There's a lot of really interesting and intriguing insights. The 8th Parak of Yuma is filled with really important pieces of Agadata. So the goal of this slot, at least in the beginning of the day, is to be able to give us a little bit of insight to go more or less keseder and to do the best job we can being able to appreciate what we find here in the Agadata itself. And I'll try to point out things not only about what people say, but the orientation people have when learning Agadata and different models for what you can do when you are coming across the non-halachic sections of the Gemara. Let's begin as follows. We know that the 8th Parak of Yuma deals at length with the inuyim, with the afflictions, to use one of the translations from yesterday, with the isurim that we have in Yom Kippur to make things on some level a little bit difficult. Interestingly, the Gemara points out in Yuma, in Ayin Dalet on the base, right after its discussion about the inuyim, that we have something else which the Torah tells us is considered to be an inuy. It's in Parshas Ekev in Dvarim Perek Ches. The Ramban quotes in Shmos in Perek Tezayin. But we know that there's something else called Inoi, and Inoi is associated with Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar eating the man. That the man seems to have also been a form of affliction. This is very, very surprising. So the Torah here, one second, says the Pasuk here, quoted in the Gemara Maseches Yuma, the Midbar l'man l'schar, Reb Amir v'Asi. So what is it about the man that is considered on some level to be an Inoi? What's so bad about the man? It tastes like whatever you want food to taste like. It's awesome. You have to do nothing. You have to prepare nothing. I would think the man is one of the best things in the world. Where's the inoy of the man? So Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi, Chad Amar Enodoma Misha Yisro Pas Pesalo Misha Emo Pas Pesalo. The simple pshat, Rashi explains, you can't store over any of the man. The man is that day's food, and all you have is that day's food. And you don't have anything for tomorrow. And there's something very nerve-wracking when you're depending on outside people to bring you food every single day and you don't have that much within your room. That can be somewhat of an anxiety-ridden experience. And that can be very challenging. Rashi says, Ochel hayom v'doeg al lemachar. You can't even keep anything over for the next day because the man you're not allowed to keep over. So you're always a little bit anxious what's going to happen. It's a painful way of going through life. The Rashbam in his Perush al Torah elaborates even more. V'chayecha tluyim l'marum b'chol yom. You are like, we're all dependent on Hashem, but you're like really dependent on Hashem. Like it has to come from Shamayim the next day. The next day your man has to come down. The Ramban even elaborates in his Perush al HaTorah. The Ramban says, you know, it didn't even have to be this way. We could have gone out of Mitzrayim and gone near cities. We could have traveled near places where there would be food. But says the Ramban in this Perush al Torah, but that's not what we had. We ended up actually being taken dafka to the middle of the Midbar in a dangerous place where there was no food at all. We're told and we're challenged to go walk in that direction. And what's going to end up happening, unsurprisingly, says the Ramban, what's going to end up happening is it's going to be very challenging. It's going to be really anxiety-ridden. It's going to be really hard. And in that sense, says the Gemara, there was an inoy which took place with the man because enodoma misha yisro pas pesalo misha enlos pas pesalo. You have nothing else to rely on. You have no bread in your basket for tomorrow. You need it to come again, and there's something very worrying about that. Chad amar. So what else do we have? Enodoma misha roa v'ochel v'misha eno roa v'ochel. No. The problem with the man was as follows. You know why the man was challenging? Not because of the anticipation, but because it's really difficult to get like an enjoyable experience when you eat man. But doesn't man taste like whatever you want it to taste like? It does, but it still looks like man. And if you don't see your food, an important part of food of presentation, what you would call plating, when you're going to serve the dish, so that's significant, and it increases the culinary experience in very meaningful ways. If it has a certain kind of an appearance. And if you can't see it, it's not as enjoyable. So the food they had from the man, it was amazing because it tastes like whatever you want it to taste like, but you really couldn't, it wasn't enjoyable to eat because you really couldn't see it. The Gemara, so we learn from here, Amar Rav Yosef, Mikan Remez, Lesumin, She'ochlem, Ve'in Tzevein, says that's why I know blind people can eat, but they don't ever get fully satiated. It isn't the same kind of an experience because they don't see their food. Amar Abaye, Hilkach, Man, De Islay, Su'udas, Olech, La'el, B'imamo. So says Abaye, the best time to have a meal is during the daytime. That's the best time to meal when you can actually see your food. But in certain fancier restaurants, they dim the lights. in order to create a certain other kind of culinary experience. It is true, but you can still see the food well. That's important, that you can see the presentation and see the food. That makes things more enjoyable. That makes things more enjoyable. There are two kinds of things that people do with this agarta. One is a question of the Sfas Emes. That we're just going to reference very briefly, but to sort of like introduce a model of learning agarta. The other is going to be a comment of Tzadok and Tzadik. Again, both of these I think are intriguing. Sfas Emes wrote his Perush al HaTorah, where most of us hear Sfas Emes, you hear it al HaTorah. Sfas Emes wrote also a Perush in Shas. We have it in Moe, we have it in Kutchin. Sfas Emes in Shas is more of a classic kind of an acharon. A lot of overlap on some level, Rav Shachter says, you know, often between the Sfas Emes and the Briska Rav in Kutchin. So one way that people learn Agadata sometimes, this Sfas Emes is representative of that mahalach, is you learn Agadata like it's a halacha sefer also. And you ask halachic questions on the Agadata. Like people in Chumash do that, and sefer Bereishis, Rav Asher Weiss and Michas Asher, Chavetz Hasharer, and they ask like halachic questions even on those things that don't appear to be halachic. What's an example of that? It says Sfas Emes the following kasha. He says, well, if eating man is considered to be inoy, so would they have been allowed, bisman, B'nai Yisrael in the Midbar, to have eaten man on Yom Kippur? Because the din of Yom Kippur has to be inoy. And normally for us that means you can't eat. But if the man causes inoy, so maybe you should have been allowed to eat man on Yom Kippur at the time of the Midbar, but it can't be. And therefore he has to have a discussion as to what's going on. And there are achronim that are like Don in that sort of like intriguing halachic question. How seriously do you take this idea of man being inoy, man causes affliction? Well, if that's true, you know what's... Okay, so is that... That's one way of looking at agadata sometimes. It's like taking a piece of agadata and asking a halachic question on it. Rav Tzadok actually does two interesting things. One is what we're not going to quote is a piece of Rav Tzadok that's very intriguing, which is that Rav Tzadok often assumes that the presence of agadata in particular mesechtas is telling. So Rav Tzadok says it's not random that the Gemaras about Chorban Beis HaMikdash are found in which Masechta? Gidin, Gerishin, divorce. Divorce and Chorban, they go together. Says Rav Tzadok, it's not coincidental that Gemaras about Eretz Yisrael are found in Maseches Ksubis, because the Ksuva of Klal Yisrael, with Ribono Shel Olam, is Eretz Yisrael. That's part of what our relationship is predicated on and all about. So Rav Tzadok, one question Tzadok had was the classic hymn question, is why exactly is this found in Maseches Yuma? That's not for now. Rav Tzadok develops an amazingly intriguing idea, which is what many do with agadata, which is using it as a springboard to develop an approach which is going to resonate, using it as a springboard to develop an approach which is going to be critical. And Rav Tzadok Kidarko, here's an important idea. Rav Tzadok, one of the great Talmud of the Mea Shiloch of the Ishbitzer, Rav Tzadok is a wildly important thinker, influenced the thought of Rav Huttner, the thought of many others, Dag Shor, I believe, and others. Rav Tzadok he often works off of Ma'amari Chazal, and Rav Tzadok offers the following suggestion. He says as follows: Torah and Tefillah are both critical for a person to have. Torah and Tefillah are both critical. That's why the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, it's good to daven where you learn, because Torah and Tefillah interact with each other. But each one does something different. Tefillah is all about being lacking. Tefillah is all about when I don't know and I'm fully dependent. Torah, doesn't lead us to feel dependent. Torah actually empowers us. When you've learned a lot of Torah, so you know what to do. The Shulchan Aruch tells you what to do. You feel shalim, you feel clear, you feel good when you're learning Torah. Torah is awesome. Torah empowers us, says Rav Tzadok. But says Rav Tzadok, even though idea Torah yachshov shehu maleh, even though when you learn Torah, Tzitzit Tzadok os reish yid aleph, when you learn Torah, you feel like you're complete and you feel like you're full. The problem is, Torah itself, to really be successful, you can't just feel like you're full. You have to have a piece of tefillah also. You have to also feel like you're dependent. Torah, where you only feel it from a position of strength, is always going to limit, on some level, your success in Talmud Torah. That you're never going to be there all the way if you feel like you are entirely all good. Which is why Torah and Tefillah need each other. Torah can't survive if you feel like you're all good, and there's none of that Tefillah which shows that you're really dependent on Hashem Yisbarach. And part of the goal of Torah Tefillah is to give us, in our relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam, on the one hand, a sense of being empowered, but also knowing that there are limits to the extent to which we are empowered. And on some level, we're always missing and always lacking something. We're always lacking something. Reb Tzadok says, actually, this is an amazingly Hasidic idea and an amazingly intriguing one. Reb Tzadok says that there's a medrash which seems to have the Hava Amina, that Torah, it was bad that we received Torah. It was bad that we received Torah. Shema Tomer L'Ra'aschem. Maybe you want to think that Torah is given over and it's bad I gave you Torah? No, it's actually good. Says the Tzadok, what's the Tzad? It's bad that we got Torah? The Tzad is that if the more that you have Torah and the more that you have clarity what to do, so in a certain sense, the less you feel dependent on the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we could have thought that Torah and Shulchan Aruch detracts on some level from our relationship to Hashem, because I'm not turning to Hashem. Like Reb Tzadok used to joke that the difference between Hasidim and Misnagdim, or that Hasidim worship Hashem and Misnagdim worship the Shulchan Aruch, that sometimes just like this intense focus on just like what to do can like overpower you in a certain kind of a way. So says Reb Tzadok, we've not yet gotten to our Agadita yet. Says Reb Tzadok, that is why Torah is stable. It's there, which is really important. But Torah also conveys and has something powerful about the need to rely. That even when I'm learning Torah and I feel good, I have to always be searching and feeling dependent on Hashem to get more, to search out for greater clarity, to find new chidushim, says Reb Tzadok. What does this have to do with the Gemara and Maseches Yuma? So says Reb Tzadok the following very beautiful insight. Says Reb Tzadok, the Medrash tells us the Mechilta and Parash B'Shalach, Lo Nisna Torah El Ochle Haman. It's not coincidental, says Reb Tzadok, that Chazal tell us that Torah is given over to those who have to eat the man. What's the connection? Why did Torah have to be given over to those that eat the man? Says Reb Tzadok this Gemara. Those who ate the man knew what it meant to be dependent on Ribbono Shel Olam. Ein Odom Misha Yesh Lo Pas Pesalo Misha Ein Lo Pas Pesalo. We didn't know if we were going to have food the next day. And we felt such a connection, such a dependence on Hashem Yisbarach. To the people that feel dependence on Hashem, those are the people that deserve Torah. Those are the people that can learn Torah well, because Torah naturally makes a person feel like they're empowered, like they know what to do. But we want to have that on the one hand. We want to have in our own learning a sense of dependence and a sense of reliance on the Ribbono Shel Olam also. And that, says Reb Tzadok, is what we're striving for here in the Gemara Maseches Yuma. Those who ate the man were really dependent on Hashem. Those who ate the man were really relying on the Ribbono Shel Olam. They were really relying on the Ribbono Shel Olam. And because of that, says Reb Tzadok, they were worthy of receiving Torah. Because Torah can make a person feel so good and give so much clarity, but we also want a person, when they learn, on the one hand to feel good, but also to always know that they can rely on Hashem and to be searching to Hashem to get new chidushim and new insights and new perspectives and a new and increased awareness to the significance of all that's going on. So I believe that my 15 minutes are up, but hopefully some important insights, 13 minutes and 4 seconds. Hopefully that there's at least some insight now as far as I got it to the man, the reliance on Hashem. Tzfas Emes' question, if it's really Inoi, so how come could they have had it on Yom Kippur? Reb Tzadok, the Ochle Haman were very dependent, and those are the best people to learn Torah. Because when you learn Torah, and you learn Torah in a way where you're dependent on Hashem, it's a very, very different learning experience. Not only learning of empowering you, but a learning experience where you're always searching to Hashem to be able to find and gain new insights and new perspectives.